Verily, verily, I say unto you, whatsoever ye shall ask the Father in my name, he will give it you. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. In the book of Esther, Queen Esther faces a very difficult situation as her people, the Hebrews, are about to be attacked. And in her marriage to the pagan king Xerxes, she determines that she should ask him for protection for them. When she enters the throne room and is given a hearing, she hears the king say to her, "What wilt thou, Queen Esther? What is thy request? It shall be even given thee to half the kingdom." Esther chapter 7. Gospel according to St. Mark chapter 6. Herod was holding a party with his friends, and when the daughter of Herodias came and danced, Herod was very pleased, and he thought he would draw on a little of that Xerxes credibility and said something like this, "Up to half my kingdom, whatever you want, you can have," trying to impress his friends. Now, in the first case, Esther asked for mercy upon the Hebrew people, and she received it. And since she was married to Xerxes, who made the promise, it was likely possible that she could have asked for half the kingdom and he would have given it. The daughter of Herodias, however, was a dancer. And when Herod said this in front of all of his guests, no doubt he meant to put himself in line with the great and powerful men like Xerxes. But when the words escaped his lips, he might have sensed the foolishness of his promise. Maybe he had had a few too many by that time. When Herod said that he would give her anything that she wanted, up to half his kingdom, I sometimes wonder what would have happened if she had said, "Okay, I'll take half your kingdom." He would have said, up to 50%, you know, like up to 50% off, not actually 50%. When she asks for John the Baptist's head on a platter, he makes a second foolish mistake. He looks around him and refuses, in the company of all of his friends, to acknowledge that his promise was a mistake. And rather than being humbled and admit his mistake, qualifying his offer, he allows the woman to have what her mother told her to seek. And indeed, John the Baptist is beheaded. She got what she asked for. He kept his word and learned never to say such a thing ever again. This is Rogation Sunday, a word derived from the Latin term rogare, to ask. As I always say, the same word which is at the root of the word interrogation, to ask into. And on this day, in the beginning of the agricultural season or thereabout, it has been a custom for centuries to ask that God bless the land so that at harvest time, months from now, there will be much to give thanks for. It's time to ask. And in the passage that has been read on this day for many centuries, we have heard Jesus say something that sounds a lot like what Xerxes said to Esther, and even a little like what Herod said to Herodias' daughter. It sounded like Jesus said something like, "Whatever you want, just ask for it, and you'll have it." And to be precise, he didn't even say, "Up to half my kingdom." It sounded a little like he said, "Whatsoever you ask." Now, that's a lot of things. There's a lot of things that fall under the category of whatsoever. And most folks can't think of a reason that we should limit our asking to agriculture. Who would ask for corn and barley when you can have whatsoever you want? But of course, there's a context here and an important qualification. This is not Herod's offer, and Jesus Christ is no Xerxes. God is not entertaining requests for the head of John the Baptist. In fact, we have reason here to believe, strangely, he may not even be entertaining all requests for simple things like request for religious persecution to cease. In the gospel passage that we've heard from St. John today, we listen again to the farewell discourse of Christ to his disciples. He's just finished speaking to them about how if people hate them, hate him, or hate them, they hated him first. And if they are persecuted, it's because they persecuted him first. And the message is that they should not be surprised if they're thrown out of the synagogues, and that people who try to kill them will feel that they're doing God service. That's the context for the gospel for Rogation Day, or Rogation Sunday. Jesus is about to leave, but he says something there about his eventual return that's key to understanding the message about asking. He says, I will see you again, and your hearts will rejoice, and your joy no man taketh from you. The joy that you will know that will not be taken from you is the joy of the resurrected, ascended, and returning Jesus Christ, to whom you are bound together, by whom you are redeemed, and in whom all your hope may be rightly placed. And then we hear that passage that we've heard today. Verily, verily, I say unto you, whatsoever ye shall ask the Father in my name, he will give it you. Hitherto have ye asked nothing in my name. Ask and ye shall receive, that your joy may be full. I will see you again. Your joy no man taketh from you. Ask and you shall receive that joy. The Venerable Bede writes, it can disturb hearers with weak faith that at the beginning of this reading from the gospel, the Savior promises disciples, if you ask anything of the Father in my name, he will give it you. Not only do people like us not receive many things we seek to ask of the Father in Christ's name, but even the Apostle Paul himself asked the Lord three times that the angel of Satan, with which he was tormented, might depart from him, and he was not able to obtain what he asked. Bede was writing about St. Paul's experience of asking the Lord for something. 2 Corinthians chapter 12, St. Paul says, and lest I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of the revelations, there was given to me a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure. For this thing I besought the Lord thrice, that it might depart from me. And he said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee. My strength is made perfect in weakness. Esther got what she wanted from Xerxes after his promise. Herodias' daughter got what she asked for from Herod after he promised. And now God Almighty offers you whatsoever you ask through Jesus Christ, and yet you don't get what you ask for. And sometimes it feels that he has not really a great reason for not giving it to us, even that he's not terribly concerned about our situation. All I asked for was to not be sick anymore. He can't even do that. All I asked for was for her to forgive me, and she still won't. All I asked for was for him to be protected, and he's hurt. All I asked for was a little help, and there's none coming. I'm not asking for half the kingdom, just a little improved circumstance. What's the holdup? It's here, as we consider, first of all, that Jesus Christ is no pagan Xerxes, and certainly he is no Herod trying to impress his friends. When you ask in his name, you must not pretend that this is Herod. And you must consider precisely what it means to ask in his name. Jesus had just promised that his disciples would be hated and persecuted and probably killed on his behalf, and without space for so much as a bite from a falafel. He says, also, anything you ask for in my name, you can have. Those two things right next to each other. Now, if you were one of his disciples, I think it would be first on your list to ask in Jesus' name that no harm would come to you, that you would be protected from the persecution of the enemy and from the scorn of the synagogue, and that people would stop hating you, and that no one would kill you and think that he was doing God's service. But Jesus just promised that those things would happen to those disciples because of his name. How will we rectify these? And because of the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, you will suffer persecution. Christians all over the world are persecuted, and in the drift of this world, you can get the sense that we will be more persecuted soon. And our first request, I will guess, will be, make it stop. And can't we get back to that time when everyone loved us so much? But this is a different offer, isn't it? Whatsoever you ask of the Father in my name. Listen closely to this. Jesus is not offering you anything you want up to half his kingdom. He's offering you his kingdom. Period. What does that mean? What is it to ask in Jesus' name? I'm going to ask God to help me with this next part. Ask for more. It's to ask in line with his will, his character, given everything we know of him. I ask that my knee would stop hurting. More. I ask that I would have perfect health. More. I ask that I would have eternal health. More. I ask that I would appreciate eternal health. Now you're getting close. I ask that the kingdom of God would reign eternally and that I would participate in it and that my joy in that kingdom would be full. Full, full, full. Appreciated all the way down the line. Now you're getting close, okay? Ask for more. Because we're really up against it. Rogation Sunday, Asking Sunday. We've been told now we can have whatever, whatsoever we ask for in Jesus' name. And we've learned that he's prepared to give us not up to half his kingdom, but his kingdom. And to be a full participant in it forever. And we have sometimes no idea, let's be honest, what will bring us closer to that kingdom and what will take us away from that kingdom. Some of what we pray for often, comfort, convenience, healing, and relief, will actually lead us away from his kingdom. Some of the thorns that we pray God would remove, just as St. Paul asked that they would be removed, actually are drawing us closer to him and to his kingdom. And so what in the world are we to ask for? I would say more. Ask for his kingdom. That's what he teaches us to do. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done. It's not just relinquishing our little wants and needs. It's a bigger ask. And in the space of these few sentences, Jesus begins to speak then about joy. So you have sorrow now. Yes. In fact, he says, in this world you will have tribulation. But I will see you again, and your hearts will rejoice, and then no one will take your joy from you. In fact, be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. Jesus has taught us of the nature of our joy. Let us pray that we would see Jesus in his kingdom. Let us pray that we would know Jesus and believe in this kingdom. Let us pray that our sorrows would be driven away and not by simple change in circumstances, as much as by the coming of his kingdom. He has taught us what to ask. Let us pray that our joy may be full and that his kingdom would come and his will would be done. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.